Hello?
Hello, Andrew. It's Kerry.
Hello, Commissioner. How are you today?
Mr. Gibson, how are you?
I'm good, Brett. How are you?
Dandy.
I can recognize that voice anywhere.
Yeah, thank you.
Who else have gone on in the room today?
Well, why don't we start with going around the table who's here present, and then we'll go with those are on the phone, and then we'll be good to go. So, welcome everybody. Brett Miller, I have the great honor of serving as your chair.
This is Andrew Gruber.
Andrea Pearson.
Wayne Bennion.
Jeff Scott.
Ned Hacker.
Who do we have on the phone?
Kerry Gibson.
Sean Mills.
John Barber.
What it is?
Hello, gentlemen.
What it is, Mills?
Who's out in the country and got the birds?
It's a beautiful sound, isn't it? Do you really have to ask that question?
Wait, are you, Commissioner? Are you out in the field right now?
I wish.
Or maybe it was.
I'm going to get there eventually today.
I'll tell you, it would be the first time, at least in my knowledge, that we had somebody participate in one of our meetings from the seat of their tractor. That would actually be kind of cool.
I could definitely do that for you.
I know you could.
And we welcome both, also Commissioner Milne and Councilman Barber, too. So I hope you're all doing well. First item on the agenda is approval of minutes from our October 12th, 2017 meeting. Those went out in a packet. Does anybody have any comments, corrections that need to be made there? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion. Anyone go second?
I wasn't here. I won't be much help.
Okay.
I wasn't on the committee at the time.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll second it.
Okay.
There you go. Motion and second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I mean,
anybody?
I can abstain.
You don't have to.
I.
There you go.
Okay.
I don't know one way or the other.
How about Mill?
Aye.
Okay. Gibson?
Aye. Okay. Are you suggesting we're going to be better than the SEC, Brett, and we're going to do roll call votes?
Yeah. Yes.
Good on you.
Okay, moving on, we have opportunity for public comment. Would anybody from the public like to comment? I'm not seeing any in the public here, unless you all want to say something. Okay, we'll close the public comment. Next, we have the draft fiscal year 19 budget and unified plan of working program. And you going to lead us through that? Wayne? You love it?
I will.
Andrew?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Well, I hear love it.
Yes, and
are we excusing her?
Yeah, so I'm thank you for noticing that Lovett is not with us. Lovett rocked her way off of a porch.
Rocked her way?
She was in it. She was literally in a rocking chair, which, you know, when you think of that, you think like that sounds very safe and tame, but she was on a porch and she rocked her way off the porch and broke her shoulder. So she's having shoulder replacement surgery.
Ouch.
Yes, indeed.
That must have been one heck of a rocking chair.
I know. Aggressive rocking.
Yeah.
Lovett was, very deeply involved in the preparation of the materials that are before you today. This just happened over the weekend, so she's left the unenviable task to me to go through this material, and I will certainly attempt to answer any questions that you all may have.
Give her our best.
I certainly will. So, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, can I just go ahead and launch on into this?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So, this is our annual budget process, and you know, most of you have been through this with us before. For Commissioner Scott, thank you for joining the committee and participating with us on behalf of Box Elder County. The way the budget committee works is that we have at least one person representing each county, and also make sure that we have the chair and vice chair of the council. So those folks that were not able to be here with us today that are members of the budget committee, that includes Mayor Caldwell and Councilman Jensen, and I'm going to be following up. I have a call scheduled tomorrow with Mayor Caldwell, and I'll follow up with Councilman Jensen. He was supposed to be on here, just to make sure that everybody's clear and all questions are answered that you may have on the budget. The budget committee reviews, asks questions, makes changes as needed to the budget and the work program, and then the next step will be then taking those revised materials and sending them to the full council for action at our meeting on Thursday, March 22nd. That's sort of step one of the budget process. I'm giving you an broad overview of the process before jumping into the substance, okay? The council will review the materials, and then subject to making any modifications, would then vote to release those materials for public comment at the March meeting, and then come back at the May council meeting for actual final approval of the FY19 budget and work program. Between that period of time, we have an open public comment period, an official public notice period. We also send the budget and work program out to all of the COGs in the region to see if they have any comments. All right, and then it all comes back. In May, we vote, or you vote, and adopt a budget and work program for FY19. That's the overall process. Now, budget and work program, two different things, very closely related to each other. The budget is obviously our revenues and our expenditures for the FY19 fiscal year. The work program, or the Unified Planning Work Program, is a statement, a broad statement of all of the work that we anticipate doing in the fiscal year 19. And I would say anticipate doing, or perhaps might do. And the reason I say that is because, in a way, you could look at the Unified Planning Work Program as not just a statement of what we intend to do, but kind of as a hunting license for things that we could do. We're actually, some of the budgetary processes we follow are dictated by our primary funder, which is the federal government through the United States Department of Transportation, and they require us to have a statement of a Unified Planning Work Program, and we put that together in consultation with our other transportation partners at UDOT and UTA as well. So budget and work program. We are more than happy to talk to you about any of the items in either of those documents, but it is my intention to spend the bulk of our time here in this discussion on the budget itself. And the budget is the money that is needed, the revenues and the expenditures that are needed for to allow us to do the work that is contemplated in the work program. Okay? Wayne is our point person on the work program. Lovett is our point person on the budget. Ned is our Director of Administrative Services, all of us can participate. So I'm just going to say, if anybody has any questions, or if anybody on our staff has any corrections or additions as I'm going through this, please interrupt. Okay? All right. Before jumping into the budget itself, any questions or comments about the process and what our objectives are here for this meeting?
Oh, it's pretty clear.
Okay. Very good. And let me just also note that this is basically the only thing we're doing in this meeting. The agenda says Executive Director's Report. I don't have anything to report unless there are things you guys want to talk about. So this is the purpose of the meeting. Okay? All right. Okay. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to use the memo, the two-page memo that is in your packet. And I should note, guys on the phone, It would be, hopefully you have in front of you the materials that Andrea sent out initially a week or so ago, and then again this morning. I'm going to be going over those materials. If there's any point at which you're not tracking with what I'm saying, please just
holler.
Yeah. I'm going to go through the memo here. Basically, what you're seeing here, so this is on the first page of the memo, budget overview. First, talk about expenditures. The budget in the overall expenditures in the budget are projected to go up by 1%. Probably the clearest table for you to look at to see this is the budget table that's labeled, it says draft Wasatch Front Regional Council FY19 budget, expenditure by function. Expenditure by function. And that shows you essentially the line item of the expenditure, FY17 actual, FY18 estimated, our current year, and then the proposed budget for FY19. Hello?
Hey, it's Michael. I'm sorry, I'm a little late.
Hello there.
Welcome, Mr. Jensen.
Hello. Sorry, sir. Sorry, Mr. Chair and Executive Director.
No problem.
You don't have to suck up.
Oh, I like it.
Especially if you're down watching baseball, you're going to be in trouble.
I won't tell you, sir.
Uh-huh. No comment on advice of counsel. So, Councilman Jensen, good timing. We were actually just starting to dive into the substance of the budget.
Yeah, and the part where all the increases Salt Lake County is going to pick up.
Thank you for being so gracious.
We have on the phone with us Commissioner Milne from Tooele County, Commissioner Scott from Box Elder County, Councilman Barber from Morgan County, Commissioner Milburn from Davis County, Commissioner Gibson from Weber County, and then this is Andrew, and we also have Wayne Binion, Ned Hacker, and Andrea Pearson from the staff. Lovett broke her shoulder, unfortunately, and is not able to be with us today.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Hope she's okay.
Yeah, she'll be okay. She's just very frustrated and a little embarrassed because she broke her shoulder. She was on a rocking chair on a porch, and she rocked her way off the porch and broke her shoulder. So, yeah. Yeah, yep. Okay, so with the materials that you have, again, that expenditure by function page, as you can see, in the aggregate, the overall projected proposed budget for FY19 is a 1% overall increase from FY18. And the majority of the expenditures, or the largest single expenditure in the budget, as always, is our staff. I should actually just make a general note on this budget. This is pretty much a plain vanilla budget. There's not a lot going on here. There's not a lot of new stuff. There's not a lot of big changes. So it's not very exciting, but I'm going to go over it and welcome any questions or comments that anybody has, of course. Okay, but there's not, pretty much a status quo budget. So the budget, we have 28 staff people, full-time staff people right now. We had some vacancies during the years and filled some positions, so we had a little bit lower than anticipated expenditures during this year, but we anticipate being at a full complement of that 28 rolling into next year. We've made some really, we had some vacancies and we filled them with some really exceptional hires. I think our staff is in a very strong position right now. I mean, it's always been strong, but, we continue to add really terrific people to fill some vacancies. What I'm looking at doing right now, and the budget reflects this, is adding in two additional FTEs into the FY19 budget. And I described this a little bit in the memo. One of them is a new full-time accounting position that we're just budgeting to fill in the fourth quarter of the year. And the reason for doing that is that Lovett, to her credit, has already given us a heads up that she is starting to plan for her retirement. And because that position is so important in terms of continuity of budgeting and accounting and compliance, we are the strategy that we would like to employ here is hiring somebody who's going to be the successor to Lovett, but having a period of overlap so that there can be a training and seamless transfer for that position. Also, really, the compliance requirements on government organizations, as you all know, just continue to grow. Additional accounting and reporting requirements, and we're okay with that. And we have really strong internal policies and compliance record, but we want to make sure that we don't miss a beat in any of that. So that's sort of part one. Part two is I'm contemplating one new full-time entry-level communications and public outreach position. And I will tell you all that this is something that we're still just sort of putting together right now. We don't have the full contours on it. But we do so much outreach and activity with our communities, with public meetings, with the vision workshops that most of you have attended, you know, with increased use of social media and all of these things that we want to provide. And like even beyond that, like site visits, like Ben Wuthrich is all around the region right now doing site visits for project applications. There's so many activities that involve outreach to our communities that the details of that can be a little overwhelming. And what we're looking to do is likely bring in a full-time but entry-level position to really do a lot of support on that communications and public outreach and engagement work. Now, again, I don't have that totally buttoned up yet, but we're budgeting for doing a position like that, and I'm not exactly sure when that would start up. Let me note that under our rules, the rules that you all have adopted in our bylaws and everything, I don't bring positions to the budget committee or the council for approval. You approve the budget. So I'm not required to say to you, is it okay that I hire X or Y? However, I think, and it has always been our practice, that I want you to know what we're thinking about in terms of staffing and see if you have any questions and make sure you're comfortable with that. Okay? Other than that, in the line item, in this line item for salaries and employee benefits, as Councilman Jensen knows, because we do this every year, we have built in an overall 5% increase on that line item. And out of that, we cover any merit or COLA increases and any modifications to benefits. And when I say that, think healthcare cost increases. Okay? The way that we do our increases on merit or COLA is that we do a survey of a sampling of our city and county members and what they are budgeting for in terms of their salary. And then we also look at what the state does in terms of their budgeting, and we make sure that what we do on our employee salaries and benefits is in line with the sort of norm of the state and then the local governments in our area. So that 5% is a maximum. We are not required to use all of that, but it gives us a little flexibility then in actually putting together the exact details of whatever increases we might do, and then also be flexible enough to respond to any modifications in the healthcare costs.
Speaking of healthcare costs, do you have any figures back yet or an understanding of where that might be coming in?
No, I don't. I mean, and I don't. Lovett, I don't know, Wayne, if you know, but Lovett is sort of the keeper of that information. She might have some answer to that, but and I can try to get that from her. Do you know?
All I know is that the actual comes in December time frame, but I don't know if there are any projections of what that might be.
Yeah.
So your policy is calendar year?
No, we're on a fiscal year, so the budget is a July 1.
But your health insurance renewal
year, yes,
calendar year.
That's correct. Any other questions or comments about the about the employees or employee costs.
Just with Lovett, where she is going to be retiring,
yeah.
This says one new full-time accounting. So in essence, there'll be an overlap that she will eventually replace. And so you're not adding another position, you're just having some overlap for training.
Yes, thank you. That's correct. For purposes of the FY19 budget, we will have a period of time where we up it.
Right.
And then when she retires, that's the plan, is that it'll go back down.
Okay.
I as all of you know from managing budgets, having that function dialed in is it's worth its weight in gold. So I want to make sure that we continue our exemplary track record in that regard. So
remind me, is there anybody currently on staff that's doing any kind of backup or?
Yeah. Yes. So we have. Amber Gonzalez is, she does a dual role in HR and accounting, and so she supports Lovett in that work. We obviously also have an outside accounting firm that does our auditing and then also supports some of our functions. Wayne and I also are engaged in the budget process to make sure there are multiple eyes on things. And then the budget committee chair and then the chairman are also reviewing and approving checks.
More of that day-to-day type stuff. So
yeah.
Amber.
Yeah, it's Amber. So I actually think we have a really solid divided responsibilities on our expenses and everything. So we've updated our policies, but things are day-to-day, we're in good shape with Amber covering that. Okay. Moving on, the next largest expenditure item, as always in the budget, is our contractual line item. That line item is again, it's pretty flat. That's at about 2% this year increase. And about half of that is actually the grants and contracts that we do through our TLC, the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. Councilman Jensen, as you know, a portion of the funding for that program comes from Salt Lake County. Thank you. Funding comes from UDOT and UTA for that. But that's the program where we have a pool of consultants that we hire to help communities do their, challenging local area planning. So a big portion of the budget in consulting is for that, and then just our ongoing planning work for which we're using consultants. So that's in that line item. And in the footnotes, there's additional detail on some of the contracts, and if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to go over any of that. The other noteworthy item that's happening in the budget relates to our office move. And there are several items in this expenditure by function line which tie into that, including equipment depreciation, which goes up, the rent, which goes up, and then the building operations, which goes down. But let me just give you a refresher on where we're at with this. We've had a lot of conversation over the past several years, really, about WFRC moving its offices. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but just as a refresher, the idea is to move to somewhere that is more centrally located and accessible by multiple modes of transportation. Convenience still for driving and freeway access, but also being able to access it by using regional transit and biking and walking. And so the spot that you all know this already, we have a lease signed, is at the north end of the Gateway in downtown Salt Lake. It's a stone's throw from the North Temple Front Runner Station. It's easy access from 6 North or 6 South on the freeway. And it's more centrally located to help us fulfill our mission of being a convener for folks from around the region. From a budget perspective, everything we're doing is according to the plans that we had developed over the course of years, and this budget committee was the entity that worked with us as the guiding and approving body for most of those steps. The council took action to delegate authority to the budget committee, and so we spent a lot of time with you working on that. So there's two elements to that. One is selling the building that we're in right now, which we own outright, free and clear. and then renting the new space. We only initiated moving. We've wanted to move for a long time, but we only initiated the move once our federal funding under the Federal FAST Act went up. And so, again, this is a reminder because we spent a lot of time with you and with the council on this before, but we took a slice, a small slice of that, the federal money that we get in, and are able to put that to increase rents. So we are still spending less than 5% of the federal funds that come through WFRC for administrative costs, including rent costs. But we were able to do that. So budget for increased annual rent costs without detracting from any of the other work that we're doing. So you see then in the budget, the rent line going from 58 or 59,000 to 314. That's because right now we own this building, and then we're going to have a long-term lease, a 10-year lease in that new space with a fixed inflator. So that's a really good provision we were able to negotiate. So we have certainty going out. And that increase, again, is covered by the additional federal funds that we have coming in. Then our building operations costs go down. That low number of 15,000 is just to maintain this building until we sell it. Okay? Now, we don't need the proceeds of the sale of this building in order to cover the costs of the new facility. As pursuant to all of our discussion and the council direction, we're going to take the proceeds of sale of this building when we sell it and put it into a dedicated interest-bearing account and hold that as a building fund to leave open the possibility that we move to another space that we ultimately purchase. If a unique opportunity presents itself, or if our lease term comes up and we can't get favorable terms on rental going forward. So that's planning for the future and being conservative with that asset rather than just spending it down. Okay? Let's see.
Just quickly,
yeah,
where are we at in the timeline for movie actually moving? And I'm assuming you got moving expenses built into this budget?
We do. All of the budget covers the moving expenses, it covers the cost of furnishing the new space, and it covers the rent costs. Ned has been our point person on this, but basically we're looking at early summer for a move-in. We have the luxury because we own this space and nobody's going to kick us out. I mean, it'd sort of be nice to be kicked out because that mean we're selling it.
Take your time.
We have the luxury to take our time, design the space. We're working with the Cicero Group. Randy Shumway is the head of the Cicero Group. We're working with them and with an architect to design the interior of that space and be able to do a move-in early summer. That will be, any move is disruptive, but be, as minimally disruptive as possible so that we can keep doing our work.
And our rent starts when we move in?
Well, no. So
remind us how that
went. Yeah, our rent starts in June. We actually start paying June 1, May 1 or June 1, do you remember? May 1. So we negotiated this lease term a while ago, and basically the deal we struck was the Cicero Group allowed to give us a long lead time from when we started paying rent, as long as they had some certainty for their budgeting purposes of when rent would start happening. So we've been working with them for a while, and we set out this date of May 1 to give us time, but then also even if we're not moved in until June 1 or whatever, we'll start up May 1. But we budgeted for all that, and that certainty seemed like a better business deal.
And this 314.
Did somebody just call back in?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, no problem.
This 314 that's in the other budget for rent, that is the actual rent. That doesn't include the new furnishings for FF&E as you get in there?
Yeah, that's correct. So here's the way this is working. So the answer is yes. The way this is working is that they're giving us a T&I allowance for the improvements, and then we are covering the improvements out of our rent costs. Okay, so the rent and all TI costs are included in that 314. Now, the line above that, the equipment depreciation, we are using funds in, so TI doesn't include the furnishings, okay? So that increase in the equipment depreciation represents the depreciating cost of those assets that we're going to be putting into the building, and then that depreciates over, you know better than I would, over X number of years.
And then on this, it's a 10-year lease with the fixed escalators. Is there a provision in there that allows you to opt out of remaining years if you find a deal that's just too good to pass up and you pick up a new building?
Yeah,
you
know? Good question. We spent a lot of time on that. So first of all, it is a 5-year lease with a 5-year option to extend under the same terms. Okay, it has an opt out. But the way the opt-out works is we have the ability to sublease that space to somebody else, or they can lease it out to somebody else. Okay.
If they lease it out, then they allow you out of the lease.
Then we're allowed out of the lease. And we regarded this to be a good deal because that area is an up-and-coming area. I mean, with Operation Rio Grande cleaning it up and with all the development that's happening there, we think there's going to be no shortage of demand. So our thinking was that if we find another, like, let's say something miraculous happens and one of our partners says, hey, want to come, you know, rent free and be in our space and have an awesome, or whatever. I mean, that's not going to happen. But like something really amazing, we would be in a position to move out, and it's very likely that we would not have trouble finding a sub-lessor, or they would be able to rent it. So that's the way that's contemplated.
Perfect.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on the building stuff, the rent stuff, you know, for purposes of the budget? Okay. Let's see, where are we? Okay. Everything else in the budget on the expenditures is based on a combination of our past experience and anticipated, you know, specific unique changes. Like there's some lines like supplies and software that you see that going up by 29%. That's because we're purchasing additional licenses to use the ArcGIS mapping software for some of our staff. So there's some individual changes like that. And the footnotes identify the details on any of them. So let me just ask if anybody has any questions about any of the specific expenditure line items. And then I'm going to make one mention about the carry forward item.
The only question I had,
yeah.
I'm a numbers geek. On legal, it looks like it jumped, you know, substantially from,
yeah,
17 to 18, and it's, you know, consistent.
Yeah, great question. And I should have mentioned that when I was talking about the building. Those legal costs are principally associated with hiring outside real estate counsel to help us with negotiating the lease for the new space and then selling this space. So that's it.
Also some legal work in paying off the,
correct,
the bond and all that
for Davis County. That's right. Typically our legal expenses are very low,
right?
Fortunately, but that, yeah, that's exactly what that is. So good catch, and I should have mentioned that when I was talking about the building. Let me mention one thing as you see on carry forward. If you're on the expenditure by function, you see at the bottom of the FY18 estimated amount estimated carry into the next fiscal year, $725,000. We always carry forward revenue from one year to the next. It is part of our business. And the reason that we do that is because many of our projects or our efforts are multi-year in nature. We budget for the full cost in one year when we start a project, and then when we are still in the middle of that, when we go into the next fiscal year, we roll those expenditures into the next fiscal year. So we plan for this, and we will have a carry forward that happens. We sort of do a true up at the October meeting. So we see everything that actually happened at the conclusion of the fiscal year, and we come back in October, we do a true up on the actual carry forward. So
it seems to be that's a fairly large carryover, isn't it?
It's no larger than that's pretty consistent.
Pretty consistent.
Yeah, yeah. And I can, if you want or need, I can go back and look at previous years, but that actually might even be a little smaller. I mean, and a lot of the way, think about it this way, we have these TLC projects, the contractual, right? A whole bunch of those, we make those awards and then they carry over. So you might have, you know, 2/3 of those projects that get awarded in one year and are multi-year in scope. And that's like $1 million of the contractual line item right there. And so that's, yeah, So the answer to your question is it is not in any way out of the ordinary.
So with 2019, where it looks like you'll have a smaller anticipated carryover, is that just due to some of the contracts being finished and actually getting boarded and done?
Another good question. Here's what we would anticipate. Ultimately, that number will go up. So for right now, right now, we assume we're probably going to carry forward about $700,000 from 18 to 19. The FY19 budget is budgeted to spend all that money. But we anticipate that we are very likely that we won't finish all of those projects in 19. We will therefore, at the end of the year, increase that. So 1 year from now, if you have your materials, we can go back and we can say, hey, remember it was 725 for 18 and 83? Well, now, a year from now, that 83 will be probably in the range of 725. Okay? Okay. That takes me to the end of my explanation over on expenses. But I want to pause to see if anybody has any questions, concerns, or anything else you want me to talk about when it comes specifically to the expenditure side of the budget.
Anybody on the phone have questions?
Nope. I'm all good.
I'm good.
Okay. On the,
I'm just a little bit concerned that we haven't talked about the office in Ogden yet.
Oh, the set. We were going to reveal that at the end of this call.
Okay.
Hey, they're at least locating closer to Ogden with the move, Jerry.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's true. Good point. Just a slight rotation.
Yeah. I want to see you write the front runner down, though, Gibson. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm a front runner machine. I love it.
I think Commissioner Milne, you're the one that's upset about this because we're moving directly further away from you.
It only extends.
You're moving away from the center of influence. I don't understand.
Right. But Andrea just pointed out it only extends your travel time by 5 minutes. So, all right.
Or lastly, it just depends on who's driving. But you're right. Anyway, let's
proceed. All right. On the funding side, let's see, time check, 11:42. Okay. On the funding side, this will probably be shorter than the expenditure side. The revenue side, if you want to look at the chart, it's the first chart. It's called Source of Funds. So draft Wasatch Front Regional Council FY19 budget, Source of Funds. You will see, again, as usual, that the federal funds represent the majority of our budget. And they come from a handful of different locations, but they come through U.S. Department of Transportation. The federal transportation law establishes a set amount of funding for metropolitan planning organizations. We also take a small portion of our so-called STP or Surface Transportation Program funding, FTA funding, etc. So you pull all those funds together, the federal funds, and we're at about $4.7 million of our budget. Right now, we have stability and certainty in the federal transportation budget. We're in the middle of a multi-year authorization. That expires in 2020, and so we, along with all of our other partners around the country who are interested in transportation, are paying close attention to the debate and dialogue in Washington. Just as an aside, all the debate around a new infrastructure bill, you know, $1 trillion of new infrastructure funding, that's not even what we're talking about. That would be, in theory, above and beyond the base transportation budget, okay? So we'll keep paying attention to that. There's also a few other slices of funding, $140,000 that comes from the state. That's an ongoing state appropriation. We've drawn in some funds from UDOT and UTA for their support for TLC, the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, and some of our other specialized programs that they value and want to contribute to. A few other, you know, dedicated sources of funding, Community Impact Board, a few other minor sources. And then the other, sort of the third kind of, you could call it the third bucket, is the local, or it's on the sheet here, is local contribution. That's the county contributions. So as you all know, each county puts in a contribution of funding every year. With the exception of Box Elder County, Commissioner, as you know, because we only cover for our purposes, we only cover the urbanized area of Box Elder County. That's Brigham City, Perry, and Willard that put in a different budget process, and I can talk to you about that separately. A few years ago, this group decided and recommended, and then the council agreed, to put a CPI inflator on the annual county contributions. It has a three-year smoothed inflator, which translates in our FY19 year to a whopping 1% increase on the county contributions for FY19. And those specific county-by-county contributions are listed out on the table that's called local contributions. So, Councilman Barber, your contribution for FY19 will go up from $12,533 to $12,658, et cetera.
Can we have a loan on that additional amount?
Whatever you work out. So I want to say again how much we greatly appreciate all of you, putting in contributions to help us help you in doing our work.
Help us help you.
That's right.
I love that line.
That's right. Well, that's what we do. Seriously, yeah, that's what we do. That's a run through of the basics on the funding. Again, there's more details in the source of funds table and in the footnotes. And I would be happy to attempt to answer any questions about any of the revenue pieces that you may have.
Any questions from anybody?
Hey, Andrew, I've got one question, and maybe you've answered this previously, but has the building sold, the existing building?
No, I realize I sort of glossed over that. No, it has not. It has been on the market. We have had several bites, but we haven't reeled anything in yet. And that is consistent with what our brokers are telling us is happening out here. And they're not just telling us, they've actually given us some numbers on sales out here, which are, it's incredibly slow. So we're still marketing the building. We sort of got our bottom lines around what we need to clear and, you know, what we plan to clear. The good news is, again, that we don't, this is going to sound weird, but we don't need the money. It's not like we're not relying on those resources to make the move. So we've handled this in a conservative way financially. So we'll keep marketing the building. I don't know if any of the stuff that's happening around the prison move or the Inland Port Authority or anything. I mean, that stuff is, we're actually not covered by that Inland Port Authority area. But I think that has the potential to generate some more interest out here. So we expect to see some more activity. But sorry, that's a long answer to your question. Maybe I could have just said no, we haven't sold it yet.
Well, we had a good offer.
Well, the other question I would have is, is there going to be any expenditures going forward if this goes into FY19 before it's sold?
Yeah, it's about 15 grand is budgeted for.
Yep. Yeah. So we're budgeting just enough because we own this, like Commissioner Milburn said, about 15 grand just to continue upkeep of the building.
Make sure the pipes don't freeze, et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah. Anybody else have any other questions regarding revenues or budget as a whole? Great. Thanks for the description and
you bet.
All the hard work, and I love it. Know that we appreciate it.
You bet, you bet. The other main product that's in front of you, like I mentioned already, is the draft FY19 Unified Planning Work Program, which, again, as usual, is the majority of it is a continuation of the work that we do on an ongoing basis. We tweak it, of course, reflecting updated priorities, input from our partners. But, you know, Wayne, is there anything that you want to...
Are there any major projects that are have come to an end? And are we bringing in any new ones? Or is it kind of just continuation business as usual?
They're more or less a continuation of business as usual. There's, you know, there will be an emphasis on phasing and documentation and public comment period for the RTP. There are also West Davis Corridor is no longer on the list, but we've added Little Cottonwood Canyon EIS and I-80, I-215 Parley's Interchange EIS. And then under D2, plan refinement and special studies on page 8 and continuing to page 9 are a list of a few new projects in the transit world.
Does anybody have any questions regarding the work plan, the work schedule? Anything else you want to add, Andrew?
Not on that. That's all that we wanted to cover on this. Just where I started was with your approval. The action item would be a recommendation for approval of this budget to go to the full council at the meeting on March 22nd for their review, and then their vote to approve the release of this draft budget and work program for public comment.
Hey, is there anybody who would like to make a motion to that effect, that we move this proposed budget and work program forward to the full council?
So moved. Oh, sorry. So moved.
Second.
I'll second it.
Looks like we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those on the phone?
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Need one more. I counted 3 on the phone.
I think I heard everybody.
Yeah,
that's okay. All 3 on there. Yeah. Oh, somebody's gone. You're right.
Is Jensen still with us? Nope.
Jensen voted.
Yeah.
Jensen must be in the seventh inning stretch, apparently. Huh? Okay. Andrew, anything else you want to touch on? I don't know if you want a quick legislative piece, or you want to just leave that for the...
Hey, I said hi, sorry.
Oh, okay. Welcome. Got a mouthful of Cracker Jack. Okay, that was unanimous.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's what we've got on the budget. So, I mean, it's 11:53. So the legislative session just concluded. Hallelujah.
There wasn't much that went on. Just a little Senate Bill 136 that went to 6 substitutes. And
it was, but it concluded. Senate Bill 136 passed on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We didn't even have to go to Thursday. You know, there were a few really, from my perspective, if you look at transportation and you look at it as a whole, some very significant things happened this legislative session. And it's not just Senate Bill 136, but, you know, Senate Bill 136 really is a big step forward in recognizing the need to provide transportation choices. It authorizes additional funding for transit. It authorizes state funding for transit for the first time. It requires UDOT, in cooperation with us, to be doing a broader approach of prioritizing state infrastructure investment, to look at all modes of transportation, and to look at them not just transportation with blinders on, but to look at economic development and land use and housing and issues. So much broader approach, which really it's a lot of what WFRC has been working towards and advocating for a long time. So The bill's not perfect, but I regard it as a really significant positive step forward. You know, in addition to doing things like governance reforms to UTA and whether you...
And renaming UTA.
And renaming UTA. And, you know, Commissioner Milburn was very involved as a very reasonable, I might even say, mediator in some of those discussions and helped move that forward. And whether you agree with the name change or not, I think everybody has the view that there needed to be an opportunity for a perception reset around UTA, and I think that we've accomplished that. We'll see how this all flows out. Additional options for all you county folks: modifications on the local option sales taxes in a way that, you know, various people said had opinions on how this should be structured. Commissioner Scott, we talked about this, and I think the ultimate approaches were done in a way that helps make it more likely that you all will be able to move forward with implementing necessary revenues for infrastructure. It gives you more flexibility to do that either as a ballot measure or as a action of the county legislative body. Authorizes a new additional 0.2 specifically for transit capital that you at the county level would control. So some modifications on the local option sales taxes that I think are pretty important. There's a few other bills. You know, I don't want to come off like we're myopically focused on just this one bill. But President Niederhauser's bill on toll roads, Senate Bill 71, makes it, you know, recognizes the reality that tolling, not just new roads, but existing roads, really is going to have to be a strategy that we look at as we go forward into the future for pricing and for demand management. The proposal that is going to go on the ballot, the compromise with Our Schools Now, that would have a ballot initiative to increase the gas tax by 10 cents and then have a corresponding reduction in the state sales tax that's going to transportation and be able to use that money for education. Pretty noteworthy. Oh, and what's really noteworthy about that from a local transportation perspective, the gas tax would go up by 10 cents. The B&C, you guys would still get your 30% of that. So you would get a bump in B&C, and we didn't even ask for it, and it's happening. And
I got to interrupt. I'm just going to take off the line. I got to go, guys. I've got to come in.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Bye.
So, wow.
That's kind of a nice unintended consequence.
Right. I mean, you've said that...
That's yeah. If it gets enacted.
Yeah.
That's right. So that would not... The ballot measure would have to be voted on. You'd get your 30%. UDOT would get their 70%. And then there'd be a takedown of state sales tax equivalent to that 70% for UDOT. The ballot would have... It would be, it's an advisory referendum that would have to be voted on. And then you have to come back in the next legislative session to actually implement it. But still, I mean... It's kind of a big deal. All of these things together. So, anyway, that's a short legislative report. How's that?
Well, I'm sure we'll have much more discussion at the council meeting on the 22nd. So make sure that's on your calendar. Please mark the next budget committee meeting is the 10th of May, and then upcoming committee meetings, regional growth, and active transportation are both on Wednesday and Thursday of this week.
Right.
So, anybody else have anything? If not, I'd entertain one last motion.
Motion to adjourn.
There's the motion to adjourn.
Substitute motion to move the office to Weaver County.
Seeing that dies with the lack of a second.
Yeah, I got a
well,
second the real motion.
We'll be adjourned. Thanks, guys.
Nice try, Commissioner.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.